Torrey Way, Northwest London, Wednesday the 17th of May, Chof Aleph Iyo, Yanki Wieselfeld, title Sancheriv, Moshiach, and Nuts. This shiur is given Leil Nishmas Rebbe Froim Fishel Ben Rebbe Yoel Arya, Zichrono Levracha. So first of all, of course, thank you to Dudi for allowing me to say a few different Torah share with you. Leil Nishmas Mashveh Zichrono Levracha, it's his 21st Yahrzeit. He should be a Melech Yosher for the family, for the Kehila, for all of us. And today's shiur is dedicated to Zichusoi. If you would have asked me, and this doesn't necessarily apply to most people, certainly doesn't apply to Mr. Goldstein, if you would have asked me on Chol HaMoed Pesach, what's the Haftorah of Acharon Shel Pesach about? I would have said to you, I'm not quite sure, I think it might have some connection with Moshiach, I'm not sure what the Haftorah is. So then you would prompt me, and you'd say, it starts off, Oid Hayon Benov Lamoid. Oh yeah, it's Tchias HaMesim, or the Valley of the Dry Bones, or something like that, yeah. And then, if you give me a little bit more, and you say Odeyo Benov Lamoid, you know, if Yodoy Harabas Sion, I would say yes. He's talking about Moshiach. He's going to arrive outside Yerushalayim. He's going to wave his hand over Yerushalayim. That's what I would have said to you, and I would have been totally wrong. Okay. So what we're going to do is, and the reason why I came across this was because I picked up a Nach Mikros Gedolos, Yishayo, on Acharon Shel Pesach, and I had a look at this Haftorah. When I had a look at this Haftorah, I came across a question, but I came across something that is more than just a question, but I think very puzzling, and we're going to try and answer it today. The Haftorah Yishayo is in chapters Yud, Yudalef, and Yudbeis. There are 25 Pesukim in the Haftorah. A Haftorah, generally speaking, it's not an absolute rule, but generally speaking, most Haftorahs have at least 21 Pesukim, because the Haftorah replaced Kriyas HaTorah in the Zman HaGezerah, and that would be 7 Aliyahs times 3. So I want to have 21 Pesukim in a Haftorah. The first 3 Pesukim, which happen to be the last 3 Pesukim of Perek Yud, discuss the siege of Sancheriv, the attempt of Sancheriv, and we'll discuss who he was, etc. in a minute, his attempt to destroy Yerushalayim, which was unsuccessful. That's the first 3 Pesukim. And then the next 22 Pesukim, which is the rest of the Haftorah, all speak about Moshiach. They speak about the malus of Moshiach, that when he comes he will have a Ruach Chochmah Bino, Ruach Etzel Gvura, Ruach Daz V'Hiras Hashem. It says that he will judge the people in an extraordinary way, an unprecedented level of understanding. B'Shofat B'Tzedek Dalim, it says, that there will be Sholom B'Olam, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the bear with the cow, etc. Then Kibbutz Goliath, the ingathering of the exiles. And finally, Tzali Varoini Yosheves, Tzion, Kigolav, Kibbutz, Kadosh Yisrael, we will all live happily ever after. That's the Haftorah. So the question I had was, 22 Pesukim all speak about the Bias HaMashiach. Maybe the last day of Pesach, Acharon Shel Pesach, we're looking forward to the Gula HaSidah, I understand. Why did Chazal feel it necessary to tag on at the beginning 3 Pesukim about the siege of Sancheriv around Yerushalayim, the failed siege of Sancheriv around Yerushalayim? Why was that necessary at all? I don't need it for the number of Pesukim. It doesn't, the Chorya, have a connection with Moshiach. So why do I need it b'chalal? That was my first kasha. But then, there's a Rashi there on Yeshaya. A Rashi says, I'll give you a connection. It doesn't tell us why Chazal needed it in the Haftorah. But Rashi says, I'll give you a connection between the siege of Sancheriv and Moshiach, because the siege of Sancheriv told Chizkiyo HaMelech at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that Yerushalayim will be safe and Yerushalayim will not be destroyed. Says Rashi, Hare Tanchumim LeChizkiyo. That's fine for Chizkiyo. He's going to survive, he's going to be saved. But what about the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 lost tribes, who had already been taken into exile by Ashur, by Assyria? What about them? Therefore, the pasuk continues about Yemos HaMashiach, Uvo Ho'ovdim Be'eretz Ashur, that the 10 lost tribes in the land of Ashur, in the empire of Assyria, they were dispersed, they've been lost, we don't know where they are, and therefore, there's Tanchubim to them as well. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Chizkiyo, Yerushalayim is safe for the moment, and if you're worried about the 10 lost tribes, they will also come back one day. But then, there's a bit of Rashi, which the L'chaira, it's not Mamash Rashi, but there's a little bit added on there, which L'chaira makes no sense. The Rashi continues, Omar HaMatik, the Matik, the publisher, the editor, the copier, said, Bimei Chorofi, says, when I was young, I had a really strange, a really, really major question that bothered me terribly. He says, I'm a descendant of the Ramah. And the Ramah, my Zayda, Paskins in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, that we don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Simatofresh Pegimel. Tofresh Pegimel, when we go through the good simonim that we're looking for, all the things that we do on Rosh Hashanah at night, in order that we should have a good simon, yeah? You know, bonane, bananas, and all these things, yeah? So, in those things, yeah, he brings down there, however, says the Ramah, the minhag is not to eat nuts. Why? Because egois, nut, is begematria chet. Yeah? So, the Mephoshim say, of course, it doesn't actually work out. Chet is 17, egois is 18, but then chet with the, chet, sorry, it's the other way around. Yeah, but chet without the, chet without the aleph. If you write it without the aleph, then it's 17, or egois with the koil becomes 18. Okay, you can cheat and you can make it work. Said this man, I went round to all the Matik says, I went round to all the Goinim and all the Tzadikim of my generation, and I said to them, I've got a major kasha on my Zayda the Ramah. The Ramah says, don't eat egois because it's gematria chet. Egois is gematria toiv. 17. And it works out precisely. Isn't that a better gematria? If we're looking for good simonim, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, let's eat nut stafka in order to have the segula of the mispar of toiv, of the gematria of toiv. That was the was. We've mentioned that. Yeah. So that was my kasha. He said, and I went around asking everybody, and nobody seemed to know the answer. But then I suggested to them an answer. Rebbe Loza, the son of the Tana Reb Shimon by Yochai, asked his father a question. And his father gave him an answer, and that's how I answered the question. Full stop. End of the Rashi. And he doesn't tell us what the question was or what the answer was. So I had two kashas now. The first kasha is, what's the answer to this kasha on the Zayda of the Ramah? Why don't we eat egois? Because it's gematria toif. But the second kasha, which l'chaira is a lot shverer, is how does this come into the Rashi on Yeshaya? Why does the Matik bring down his kasha on his Zayda the Ramah about nuts on Rosh Hashanah into the parish of Rashi on Yeshaya Perek Yud? It's got nothing to do with Yeshaya. I don't think it's got anything to do with Achrishal Pesach. It's got nothing to do with Sancheriv. It's got nothing to do with Moshiach. So why would he bother mentioning it? And in fact, you'll find that in most of the modern editions of Nach, including the two sets of Mikros Gedolos that they've got in this space of Medrash, you won't find it there. The later printers, the later Matikim, left out the Matik. Yeah, they left him out. But we're going to try and explain why he knew exactly what he was doing when he printed this. Let's go back a little bit of history, just to understand, to place this in context. Go back 2,813 years. Shlomo HaMelech was the king of Eretz Yisrael, and he built the first base of Mikdosh. After his death, Eretz Yisrael split up into two kingdoms, Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehudah, the northern kingdom and the Malchus Yehudah. In the year 3202, Shalmaneser, who was the emperor of Assyria, Ashur, came down, like a wolf upon the fold, and he destroyed Malchus Yisrael. Hoshea ben Ela was the last king of Malchus Yisrael, right? He exiled the 10 tribes. That's what we talk about, the 10 lost tribes, right? The Aseres HaShvatim, who lived in Malchus Yisrael, they were exiled by Shalmaneser Melech Ashur. He took them to Ashur, he dispersed them, and we don't really know where they are, Bisman HaZeh. But that was only Malchus Yisrael, and Malchus Yehuda continued to exist. Shalmaneser died, his replacement was Sancheriv. Sancheriv was now the emperor, the king of Assyria. Sancheriv decided that I need to conquer Malchus Yehuda as well. First of all, they weren't paying the taxes. Secondly, he saw that as a key, as a route to get to Egypt, to get to Mitzrayim, and Malchus Yehuda was in the way. So he attacked Malchus Yehuda. He came down with a huge army, and he attacked Malchus Yehuda, and he was mopping up one by one all the Ori Yehuda, the cities of Yehuda, around Yerushalayim. And he sent his general, Rav Shokei, to Jerusalem, to Bechel Godoil, with a large army, to lay siege to Jerusalem. This Rav Shakeh stood at the gates of Jerusalem, he stood at the walls of Jerusalem, and he was Becharef Umagadef Es Hashem, the Pasuk says. He taunted the Ribbono Shel Olam, he cursed the Ribbono Shel Olam, he blasphemed, and he said that you don't stand a chance. This city is going to fall, right? Your gods, none of the gods of any of the cities have ever helped them. In any country, in any place that's been attacked by Ashur, we have conquered, and we will succeed against Jerusalem as well. You think you can rely on your king, you think you can rely on Yeshaya HaNovi, you think you can rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's all not going to happen. We are going to conquer this town, this city, you have no chance whatsoever. The Tanakh describes it as a Macharef or Magadev, right? And we say it in the piyut that we sing when we're tired at the end of the Haggadah. Yeah, we say, Yoetz Bechoyev Lenoifef Ivui, Vahi Bachatzi Halaylo. He stood outside and he taunted the Ribbono Shel Olam, he challenged the Ribbono Shel Olam, he jeered, and he mocked the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chizkiyahu HaMelech is frightened, he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he davens. Yeshayahu HaNovi receives a nevuah, and then Yeshayahu HaNovi goes to Chizkiyahu and says, don't worry, I guarantee you the Ribbono Shel Olam promises they will not fire a single bullet. Nothing will happen to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is safe. And that message goes out to the people in Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, the astrologer Sancheriv, who's on his campaign in Melech, in the Ori Yehuda, he gets a message, or he consults his astrologers. And his astrologers tell him, tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the auspicious day. We can tell by all the signs that tomorrow is the day when you can conquer Yerushalayim. If you leave these places where you are at the moment, or Yehuda, Lochish, I think it was in Lochish at the time, if you leave here and you rush to Yerushalayim, and you get to Yerushalayim by tomorrow morning, which is Yud Dalet Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, then tomorrow is the day when you will succeed in conquering Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was the big prize. It was the capital of Malchus Yehuda. With the fall of Yerushalayim, that's it. There's no more Eretz Yisrael. So it says that he rushed to get to Yerushalayim. He rushed his army as fast as he could. According to one Chazal, they did 10 days' journey without Kvitzas Saderech in one day, because he believed in astrologers, in order to get there for Yudal and Nisan, in order to destroy Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. And that's what the Pasuk says. Oid hayoim b'noiv lamoid. Noiv was the Ir HaKoyanim, was the city of the Koyanim right next to Yerushalayim. And he said, I have to get to Noiv by today. I have to reach Noiv. He rushed everybody there. And we say that also in the thing. Adgo oinas ha-Pesach. Oid hayoim b'noiv lamoid. Adgo oinas ha-Pesach. V'amartim zevach Pesach. In the piyut of Amartim Zevach Pesach in the Haggadah, it's also mentioned that he rushed to get to Yerushalayim in order to destroy Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. He arrived on Yud Dalet Nisan on that day, and he looked at Yerushalayim for the first time. And Rashi brings down in Malachim, and Rashi brings it down in Yeshaya. Hiskil Lahonev Yodo Begavo, right? He was there according to Chazal, and I've spent a lot of time trying to work this out. But the best I can come up with is that he had 370 million troops.
What?
It says there are 185,000 commanders, and each one was the commander of a battalion of 2,000 troops. Yeah. I worked it out. That works out 370 million. And there's a long targum on the psukim in Melochim that gives the lists of all the various divisions, the infantry and the cavalry and all these sort of things. Okay, whatever it was, it's a huge, huge, huge amount of numbers of soldiers. It was a massive army. And he says, he looked at Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is this big prize, and he says, what? This is a tiny little hamlet. What is this place? Don't forget, he came from Nineveh, and the Chazal described Nineveh as something amazing. Yeah, Ir Gedoila. It wasn't just Ir Gedoila, it was also millions of people, and it was beautiful, and they had the hanging gardens and all sorts of things, not the hanging gardens of Babylon, but something similar. Anyway, he says, V'chiyal Ir Katana Kuzu, for this little town, Hirgasti Kol Achoyel Zayelech, for this, I'm tired. He said, if each one of my soldiers throws a pebble on Yerushalayim will be smothered. And therefore I've got nothing to worry about. And I'm tired now, so I don't need my astrologers. I'm going to sleep, I'm going to have a rest, and tomorrow I will take Yerushalayim. So tonight is the first night of Leil HaSeder, and Sancheriv and all his troops go to sleep. Vayhi balailahu, says the Pasuk. Vayetze malach Hashem, the malach Hashem went out. Vayach b'machaneh 185,000 commanders, and Chazal say, including the troops. Vayashkimu b'boiker Shalmaneser and his servants. Sancheriv and his servants stood up in the morning. Vehine kulam pagorim mesim. The entire army was dead. And we say that in our God as well. Hoivashta pagorav balaylo. You withered his corpses at night. Vayhi b'chatzi alaylo. Midnight on the night of Pesach on Leil HaSeder, they were all dead. That's the so you've got the source in Nach. You've got the source in the Piyut of the Haggadah. I'm going to give you a non-Jewish source as well, because I want to mention something which is Agav, which is interesting to hear. Lord Byron, 1815, yeah, an English Protestant poet, yeah, he wrote a poem about the destruction of Sancheriv. And he wrote, "For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed, and the might of the Gentile unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the face of the Lord." In other words, he accepted also this goy, accepted absolutely the version of Nach as to what happened. Compare that to a book which I have at home, which a number of other people have got at home, called A Short History of the Jews by Cecil Roth. Yeah. Cecil Roth was an English Jewish historian and Orthodox. He was the editor of the Encyclopedia Judaica. He went on Aliyah, he's buried in Yerushalayim, and he died in 1970. What does he write? He writes, I'm quoting word for word, because this is what he says. "Some unexplained cause led to a change of Assyrian policy, and the army entrenched before Jerusalem was withdrawn."
Wow.
And all I mentioned, the reason why I'm mentioning it is because it's not like the Posuk, it's not like the Piyut, it's not like Lord Byron, right? It's a version that suggests that he changed his policy and withdrew, and all I have to say is that you have to be very, very careful when you find sources in Jewish history. That's Agav. Let's continue. I'll tell you over a Muridik Avot, beautiful Avot, from the Rebbe of Heschler from Krukka, the Chanukah Satoiro, and with that will be the key to give us the three answers to the three questions that we asked. Everybody knows that when Klal Yisrael was standing at the Yam Suf, Bikshu HaMalachim Lo Mashiro, the Malachim wanted to sing Shiro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Ma Se Yodai Tomu Bayom, my creatures have drowned in the sea, V'atem Oimrim Shiro, it's inappropriate to sing Shiro when my creatures are dying. And the Rebbe of Heschel asked four kashas. So the first thing is that this exchange between the Malachim and the Rabbi Yisrael happened at night before the Egyptians drowned in the Yam Suf, because it says afterwards V'lekorav Zerzekol Alayla was the result of that. So therefore, right, what does it mean? Ma'aseh Yodai Tovu Bayam, they hadn't drowned yet. The second question he asks is that there's a possible ba'avoid Rishon Rino, that it's perfectly okay to be happy when your enemies are destroyed. That's the second question. Third one is, if it's not allowed for the Malachim to sing Shiro, then why Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael? Why were the Bnei Yisrael allowed to sing Shiro? And the final thing he says is, it's a funny expression, Ma'aseh Yodai Tovu Bayam, that my creatures, the creation of my hands, I have drowned in the sea. It says, Ma'aseh Yodai is an expression of fondness, of love, that Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses for Klal Yisrael. Neitzeh Matoi, Ma'aseh Yodai Lehispoer. I'm proud of my creatures. That's talking about Klal Yisrael. So why call the Egyptians Ma'aseh Yodai Tovu Bayam? So he says as follows, he brings down, now you'll understand this, he brings down the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and it's also Yalkut, that says as follows, that by Sancheriv, at the night when the Malach went out and he killed the army of Sancheriv, it says, Vayach Bamachaneh, and he smote in the camp of Sancheriv. Gemara asked, Bameh Hikom, how did he do it? What was the method of killing? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Biyad. He says, the same hand that was at the Kriyas Yamsov, Vayayisos Yodak Doilo, he did it with his hand. The Malach did it with the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another one, Rabbi Yeshua says, Be'etzba. But the bit that we're interested in is Mibitzchok. Mibitzchok says, Osnaim Gilo Lohem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the ears of the Assyrian soldiers, Veshomu Shiro Mepia Chayos, and they heard at midnight the Chayos, the highest level of angels, singing Shiro to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Malachim sang the Shiro at Chatzos, and the song was so spiritually pure that their brains could not tolerate it. they heard this shira and they died on the spot. They couldn't survive the high frequency of this shira, and that's what killed them. Mashal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always carries out, the Mashal there in the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always punishes Midah Keneged Midah. Because they sinned against because Ashur sinned against the Rebbeinu Shalom by standing up and blaspheming, by being Mecharef and Megadif against the spirit of the Rebbeinu Shalom, therefore they died through spirit. Therefore they died a spiritual death by hearing the Shira of the Malachim. Says Reb Heschel now, the Rebbe Reb Heschel, he says as follows. He says, Bikshu HaMalachim Loi Mashira. At midnight, when the Bnei Yisrael were in danger, the Malachim came to the Rebbeinu Shalom and said, you know that later on in history in Sancheriv, we'll be able to destroy an entire army by singing Shira. Do we have permission to do it now against the Mitzvah? They came, Bikshu HaMalachim Loi Mashira, said, let's save the Bnei Yisrael. At midnight, they asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, we'll sing the Shira at midnight, and we'll destroy the entire army of Mitzrayim by opening their ears, and then they won't be able to survive the Shira, and they'll all die on the spot, and we'll save Klal Yisrael like that. Said the Rebbeinu Shalom, I only punish Midah Keneged Midah. That was good for Sancheriv, because his Aveira was the spiritual Aveira, that he taunted and he jeered and he was Mecharef and Megadif. He said, but what did the Mitzrayim do? Maisei Yodai Tova Bayam, they drowned the Jewish children. Right? Their Aveira was that they drowned my children. Maisei Yodai, my Jewish children, the Tova Bayam. Va'atem Oimrim Shira? And you suggest that I should kill them through a spiritual death? No. Their Aveira was to be Obeyam. Their Aveira was drowning. Therefore, they have to die. Midah Keneged Midah. They will die by drowning. That's the bottom of the Rebbe of Heschel. That answers his four kashas. So now, let's go back to our kashas. We can explain each of them quite easily. First kasha we had was, if the Haftorah of the last day of Pesach is looking forward towards Moshiach, why do we add in, what's the connection with the siege of Sancheriv and the destruction of his army? So I can suggest to you five answers. Number one, you've got the Gemara that says, that Rabbi Eliezer says, that the same hand which destroyed the army of Mitzrayim, Vayai Yisrael as Yodah Gdoilo, at Kriyas Yamsuf, destroyed the Vayach Bamachaneh of Sancheriv. Therefore you've got a connection between Shvi Yishol Pesach at least, and Sancheriv, which might be a reason for tagging on those three psukim to mention Sancheriv before we get on to similarly, the next vault, which is the connection of Etzba. But he says the same Etzba that carried out the Makos in Mitzrayim carried out the Vayach Bamachaneh to the soldiers of Sancheriv. So again, there might be a connection there between Pesach and Sancheriv. The Klal Yisrael said, let's start the Haftorah three psukim earlier and mention Sancheriv. You've got the connection of Nisan, right? The army of Mitzrayim was destroyed on Leil Yudalad Nisan, or Tesvav Nisan. The army of Sancheriv was destroyed on Leil Tesvav Nisan. And B'Nisan Asidin Le'Goel. Then we've got a connection with Moshiach as well. The Moshiach will also Asidin Le'Goel in Nisan as well. So again, there would be another reason why it would be kedai to mention Sancheriv. We're coming from Pesach. We mentioned Sancheriv, which was also a saving Klal Yisrael in Nisan, miraculously. And B'Nisan Asidin Le'Goel is looking forward to Moshiach. So there's another connection why Chazal might have added it on. The next connection is the idea of Midah Keneged Midah. In the same way that we learned that the Mitzrayim were destroyed, Midah Keneged Midah, that because they drowned, therefore they were drowned. Similarly, Sancheriv, we said, Sancheriv was also punished with a spiritual death because he sinned against the spirit. Therefore we have a Midah Keneged Midah connection. And the final one is the Shira of the Malachim. This is a contrast rather than a connection, if you like. That at Mitzrayim, the Malachim were not allowed to carry out death by Shira. But at Sancheriv, they were allowed to carry out death by Shira. Therefore, the request that the Malachim made at Kriyas Yamsuf was not granted. But the same request which was made by the Malachim at Sancheriv was granted. And therefore, we've got some ideas or some reasons to suggest as to why Chazal would have added on the first three psukim about Sancheriv to our Haftorah to do with Moshiach.
Are they not
What? Question two, the nuts. Oh, question two is the nuts, yeah? Question two, we ask the question, why are you not allowed to eat the nuts on Pesach? On Rosh Hashanah B'Night. Yeah, why are you not allowed to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah B'Night? Surely it's Gematria Tov as well. So if you don't look to the new editions of the Nach, but you go back to an old edition of Nach, which nobody buys anymore, but I got as a prize when I was 11 years old, yeah? There's a little bit more that's expanded in that Rashi of the Omer HaMatik. And he says as follows, the kasha that Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon asked his father was that the Eitz Hadas Tovara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Yitzoichal Mimenu. Odom and Chava were not allowed to eat from it. Why? Because it carried with a danger. What was the danger? That it's an Eitz HaTov, but there is an element of Ra there as well. And the Ra carries with it danger. So Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon asked his father, he said, but surely for the benefit of the Toiv, it's worth risking the Ra. And the answer that Reb Shimon ben Yochai gave his father is, no, just the opposite. You see from the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says that, although it's an Eitz Hadas Toiv Vora, and if you will eat it, you will acquire the Toiv, which is wonderful. But there is a risk of the Ra, and once you know Ra, there's a risk of corruption. Therefore, even if the Ra happens to be there as well, it's not kedai to take that risk. The good is not worth, the benefit of the good is not worth the risk, the downside of the Ra. Some people might take an analogy to the internet, I'll leave that for the Rabbonim. Yeah. But that's what he said, that's what Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon answered. So therefore, this Matik said to all these Gedoilim, that this is my answer as well. Egois, it's true, is a gematria of Toiv. But Egois also has a connotation of Chet, which is Ra. It's not worthwhile to have the skula of Toiv if you're going to take on board a little bit of a risk of Ra as well. The element of Ra is not kedai, and therefore that's why we choose the egois. That's why we don't eat the egois in the same way that the Odom Arishon were not allowed to eat the Eitz Hadas because of Toiv Ra, because of the Ra in it, even though he would gain the Toiv. Hu Adin, we choose not to eat the egois, because although it's got a skula of Toiv, it's also got a connotation, a connection with Chet. That was the answer. And now let's go to our Matik and see how he comes into Yeshaya. Yeah? The Matik learned about Yeshaya. The Matik was learning Av Torah, and the Matik saw that the Pasuk describes the malus of Mashiach. And he says, Ruach Eitzot Vorah, yeah, Ruach Chochmah Vino, Ruach Eitzot Vorah, Ruach Das, V'Yiras Hashem. Ruach Das. Yeah, Mashiach is going to acquire Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Das of Eitz HaDas, Toiv. And the alarm bell started ringing. And the Matik thought to himself, I've got this Volta Hadakasha Bamazayda about the Toiv Ara in the Egois. And the Egois I learnt from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that it's not worth the Das Toiv in order to take the risk of the Ra. So therefore, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshiach Ruach Das? If he's going to acquire Das, he has a risk of being corrupted by the Ra element of the Eitz HaDas Tov Ra, of the knowledge of Das Es Hashem. And on the other hand, it says quite clearly that Moshiach is going to judge Klal Yisrael, and he needs to know the Ra as well. He needs to know both sides. It takes a Rov. I'll go into the details, but a Talmud Chacham and a Rav needs to know that side of it in order to be able to appreciate both sides so that he can judge fairly. And it says that Moshiach will judge us fairly more than anybody else, more than any other person has ever judged Klal Yisrael beforehand. So then the Pasuk says as follows. That's why the Pasuk says, Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. And the next Pasuk continues, V'Harichoi V'Yiras Hashem. He's going to get a double dose of Yiras Hashem to protect him from the risk of the Ra. He needs to know that Das Tov Ra, and he will have the Das. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I give him Ruach Das for Yiras Hashem, Rashi uses an expression, he will be infused totally with Yiras Hashem. That's the double expression. He will have Ruach Das, a Ruach of Yiras Hashem, and V'harichoy B'Yiras Hashem, a Reach of Yiras Hashem. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why the Matik wrote this here. The Matik, yeah, was reading about Mashiach acquiring Das. The alarm bell started ringing. Surely there is a Tzad Ra, and therefore there's a risk. As we find by the Egois, as we find by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, with Eitz HaDas, and the answer that he found in the Pasuk was that Vibalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a double protection of Ruach, of the Yiras Hashem, therefore he's protected from the effects of the Ra, because he needs to know the Das Toiv. He also needs to know the Tzadar Ra in order to be able to judge fairly, but with the double dose of Yiras Hashem, he is protected from it. And therefore maybe there is a reason why the Matik should remain in his position in Yeshaya. Let's hope Yemes Hashem, we will be Zoicha soon to be a Samashiach. Barich of Yiras Hashem, he will judge us, and he got the Bekebech, the Doish Yisrael, the Meir of the Meir. Amen.